rolling here. We're going to be in John chapter 6 today. And we'll conclude, as I mentioned earlier, with communion. So we've been in a study in John, and so we're picking up with that. Last week we did a message for the graduates. So that is online on our YouTube station. You can go there, Radiant Springs Church YouTube. It should come up for you. It is also on the digital bulletin. So when that QR code was up there, that takes you to the digital bulletin. And that updates every week. Just keep it open on your phone or whatever. And there's links to the messages you can give. You can do all that stuff there, announcements. So, all right. So last week was looking at the life of Jeremiah. Know your identity, live your destiny, depend on God's mighty power. So that was a good message. So there's got a lot of truth there. So I hope you take a chance to listen to it if you were not here. All right, so it is graduation time. How many had too much to eat yesterday? Yeah, it's kind of like you have to pace yourself, especially doing more than one. So, yes, the first one we went to was Serenity's birthday party, and Chris has these ribs out and burgers, and it's kind of like, it smelled so good. So have you ever eaten a big, big meal, and then an hour later, you're still hungry? Yeah. Probably my younger years, I've had that experience, right? All right? Not because you didn't eat, but maybe because what you ate didn't actually satisfy you. And there's times I end the day, right? It's in the evening, and it's not really that I'm hungry. It's just I'm craving something. I just don't know what I'm craving. Anybody been there? Am I only? Yeah. It's like I'm craving something. I just don't know what it is, right? So you can go through the drive-through, whatever. But the thing is, whatever you eat, the next day you are hungry again. And that's what we see happen in our passage today, is that the people that are going to be part of our passage here today had just ate a good meal of fish and bread at the feeding of the 5,000. In fact, it said everybody ate enough that they were satisfied. And now they find Jesus the next day, and they say, hey, we're looking for some more food, right? And so we're going to talk about Jesus, the bread that really satisfies. So let's pray and unpack this more together. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray in these moments that you'd make your word come alive to us, that it can correct, it can guide us, it can give us hope and nourish our soul. We give you the thanks. We ask in your name. Amen. Chapter 6, verse 25. It says, then they found him on the other side of the lake, and they said, Rabbi, teacher, when did you get here? So why was that such a big issue? Yeah, because they had the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus goes and puts the disciples in the boat, ships them off, and he goes up on the mountainside to pray. So he wasn't in the boat. He wasn't in, yeah. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up there, and it's kind of like, how in the world did he get here? Well, he walked on the water, right? Okay. Verse 26, Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. So he's talking about Jesus. He is the bread of life. Then he asked them, what must we do to do the works God requires? All right? And some religious organizations, works is everything, right? If you're going to make it to heaven, somebody said they had the Jehovah's Witnesses come to their door, so they must be making their rounds in Crete. And he talked with them, and he comes more from a Lutheran tradition, but I was impressed with him, just how he was engaging them. But very much more of a works. In fact, they don't have the hope of salvation. They don't know if they're saved, because there's, according to their beliefs, only 144,000 will make it into heaven. So if you're going to make it, you're going to have to be at the top of the list. So you're going to have to do everything possible in works-wise to get there. And we see that with the religious leaders and stuff as well, that they tried to do things by a works base. And we see that in other Christian traditions as well, that there's more, hey, if I go to church, if I go to these certain things, right, then that goes towards my salvation. I'm saved by grace and faith alone, but also following all these other things, all right? Verse 29, Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So it's referring to himself. Verse 30, so they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see and believe you? Okay, and that can kind of be a trap too. We always want signs. What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. We're going to see how that is a picture of what Jesus would do. Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread from God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. You notice how that is similar to what John chapter 4, where the woman is getting the water at the well, right? And she says, I have to come here daily and you get the water. And he goes, I can give you water that you'll never thirst again. And she goes, sir, will you give me that water to drink so I never thirst again? We see that similar comment. God, Jesus, give us this bread so that we will never hunger again. Their stomachs were filled, but their souls were still empty. You following this? And so we want to look at three different things here. First of all, we need to look at, examine what you're actually seeking. Examine what you're actually seeking. Jesus exposed that the crowd was pursuing him for temporary satisfaction, not for eternal truth. He exposed their misdirected desire. They wanted bread for the body, right? Not for their soul. So we can eat a big meal and still be hungry, right? We eat, you know, I think we're a little bit different from some cultures, maybe. I don't know, we eat three meals a day and sometimes more, right? And I don't know if all cultures do that, right? They wanted something temporary, and Jesus was pointing them to that for something eternal. And there again, then they wanted to achieve it by doing works. What must we do to be saved, right? And I think Jesus was pointing them, they had to believe that he was the Son of God, that he was the bread from heaven that they were to put their faith and trust in. And whether it is baptism, that's a big one, right? If you've been baptized in water, and for some, they feel like, you know what, if I get baptized in water, that seals my salvation. That is an expression of our salvation. It represents what Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary, that I've died with him, right? That's what being laid in the water means. I've died to an old way of life, and then when I come up out of the water, it symbolizes that I've been raised to a new life in Christ, right? So there's symbolism there. It is something we are supposed to do as Christians, but it doesn't save me, per se, right? It is a representation of what God has done. Just as coming to church on Sundays, will it save you? Well, the act maybe doesn't, but the process does of being with God's people, hearing God's word, worship, the experience, that is what saves us because it keeps us in contact with God. You get disconnected from the body of Christ, you're going to have a tough time living out your Christian walk. He has not called us to live alone. He's called us to worship together. Amen? So that is important. And then he talks about to believe the manna from heaven. Isn't that interesting how that happened in the Old Testament? God provided the manna and the quail. It came down from heaven. They picked it up every day. And it was a picture of what Jesus would do in the relationship even that he wants us to have with him. That it's not just a one-time thing. It is something that God wants us to continually lean and glean from God. All right? So the emphasis is it's possible to seek Jesus for the wrong reasons. Maybe even think about the time that you first came to church. Maybe you're raised in a church, so your parents brought you, right? But maybe you've come as an adult. Why were the reasons that you came to church? So I'm looking at Rebecca because I know why she came to church the first time. Boy Scout badge, right? For Miles, right? Yeah. And sometimes we come to church for very humanistic reasons, right? Surface issues. Nothing wrong with that. But it has to go to the deeper that it has to be that we want a relationship with Christ. That is the reason why we are to come to him. So they came to Jesus, but they weren't wanting their, they came for more food instead of seeking him, the eternal life, to satisfy their souls. And in our culture, we try to satisfy the cravings of our soul with a lot of things that don't satisfy. Food, okay, right? Sex, pleasure, material things. If I just have a few more things, right? Popularity. Those things can, in the right context, some of those things aren't necessarily bad, right? Even some of those things are created by God. I think God wants us to have pleasure in life and to enjoy, whether it's creation or relationships. So in the right context, those things are good, right? But outside of his context of what his guidelines, they can be destructive, they can be harmful, and they won't satisfy, right? Because the craving will still be there the next day or in a couple hours. Just like the meal we ate, we're still hungry again. And Jesus wanted to give them something more that would satisfy their soul. So let's keep reading 35 through 47. It says, "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, but whoever comes to me I'll never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that those that I'll lose none of those that he has given me, but raise them up in the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I'll raise them up at the last day.' At this, the Jews began to grumble." Let me hear your best grumbling out there. That's okay. All right. Talking under their voices. Because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus? He's the son of Joseph. We know his dad, right? Whose father and mother we know, right? Our kids played with his kids, played with him. We know him. He's just like us. Who is he to say that he is the bread of life that has come down from heaven?" Verse 43, "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. This is what is written in the prophets. They will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes will have eternal life." The second thing we see here is that to embrace who Jesus truly is. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." He alone will satisfy our spiritual hunger. And this ruffled the feathers of those who were critical of Jesus because they saw his humanity, all right? That he was one of them. They didn't see that he is the one sent from God. But he is the only one that can secure our salvation. And I think the big thing is that faith is not an intellectual agreement. It is coming to him. It's coming to Jesus. Salvation is not found in what Jesus gives, but in receiving who Jesus is. Think about that. It's not in just in what Jesus has to offer us, it's in who he is, to embrace our relationship. So it's not something that we go to Walmart or one of the stores, go to Ace, and buy something and say, "It's mine." It is a relationship with God that is daily, continual. That is what God is calling us to walk with him. So let's look at the final verses here. Jesus says in verse 48, "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But there is bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This is where it really gets interesting. This bread is what? My flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. So now they're not only grumbling, but now they're arguing. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Ooh, cannibalism. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my body is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my body, drinks my blood, remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on the bread, this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Woo! That just got really interesting, didn't it? The final point here is to surrender to Jesus as your only source of life. Jesus intensifies the call using the language of eating and drinking, and the ideas of total dependence and identification with Christ. He is our daily bread. Now, they took it very literally, did they not? Hey, we're no way are we going to eat his flesh and drink his blood, all right? So they took it very literally, but Jesus was meaning it more metaphorically, right? That he was the bread from heaven and that he is our daily bread. We use that expression, right? Now, some churches do take this literally when they have communion, the Lord's Supper. They believe when they partake of the bread and the grape juice, it becomes the body and the blood of Christ, right? So if you came from one of those traditions, you know what I'm talking about, right? We see them as symbolic, that the bread represents his body and the grape juice represents his blood that would be poured out. What was Jesus talking about? He was talking about the sacrifice that he would make. That as his body hung on the cross of Calvary, it would provide forgiveness of sins for us. And as his blood was spilled, it was making atonement for our sins. The living bread was his flesh, which he would give for the life of the world. It was an allusion to his death on the cross. Jesus, the living word, the Logos, became flesh, right? He became the bread of life for a sinful world, only laying down his life so that others may live. So many misunderstood what Jesus said, so much so that he went from large crowds to small crowds. They said, hey, this is too much. This is too much. You know, in our culture, the gift of salvation is often communicated. Okay? We often close with the prayer of salvation. But sometimes the commitment is glossed over. That if I'm going to follow Christ, it's more than a prayer. It is a lifestyle. It is a journey where I make him the Lord of my life and I live daily with him. And that he is our bread of life. In that, as the manna came down, right? How many days of the week? Six. Yeah. Yeah. On the Sabbath, you had to get twice as much the day before. If you did that the other days, it rotted on you. But on Friday, you could take a double portion to carry you through Saturday on the Sabbath, right? It was a daily thing. And I think that's a picture that you just don't add Jesus to your life and say, oh, I went to church, click, you know, check mark. I added Jesus to my life. I prayed the prayer of salvation. I'm just going to go on with my life. That's not what the Christian life is about. It is, he must become your life, right? Each and every day, you're walking with him. You're having fellowship with him. You're spending time in prayer. You're spending time in God's word. You're walking with him. It's a relationship. Okay, so some of you are married here. Some of you will be married down the road, right? But you can't have a relationship with your spouse if you're not spending time together, right? You're not going out on those date nights, right? You're not having those walks together, meals together. It's a relationship, and it's a relationship with God as well. We can't just come to church maybe a couple times a month or once or twice a year and expect that we're going to have a relationship with God. It doesn't happen that way. True life is found not in what Jesus provides, but in fully trusting and surrendering to who he is. He must become your life, right? So there is commitment there. There is sacrifice, because there's times that my desires, your desires, do not align with his desires. Even Jesus says, I didn't come here to do my will, but to do his will. And there's times in your life that you're going to go through your daily decisions. Just think of all the decisions you make in one day. Some of those are neutral. A lot of them have to do with glorifying God. Whether you're scrolling on here, whether you're hanging out with people and the conversations that they are having, whether it's you go on from there, being in school, all those different things. True life happens when we surrender our life to God. So I'm going to have the musicians come. So here's the tension for all of us. It's possible to keep coming to Jesus and still be spiritually hungry. And so Jesus invites us to do three things: to examine, to check our appetite. What are we actually seeking? Are we just wanting temporary things, or are we wanting what's eternal, for him to come and refresh our heart and our soul? And are we coming to him as the bread of life? What do we mean by consume? That he is my life, that I am spending time with him in prayer, that I'm getting into God's word, that I'm hanging out with other believers that are on the same road that I am, that we're encouraging one another, that we're sharpening one another and bringing out the best in each of us. If you only want what Jesus gives you, you'll go back hungry. You'll always be hungry. But if you receive who Jesus is, you will be satisfied. I want to close with one last illustration here. Imagine a person is starving. Okay? Maybe imagine that person is you, all right? You're starving. You haven't eaten for a few days. 3 days. Let's say 3 days. Four? Oh, okay. Clarence, four. 4 days, you haven't eaten. And somebody sets this piping hot loaf of bread right in front of you. Can you smell it? I can. You admire it. You talk about it. You tell others about, wow, this good bread. Doesn't it look good? Doesn't it smell good? But you never actually take a bite out of it. And guess what? You eventually die of hunger, even though the bread was right in front of you. Seems stupid, right? But how true that was, that there was people there that were seeing Jesus, the bread of life, right there with them. And he was offering them the gift of eternal life. All they wanted was physical bread. And Jesus says, I have something much more valuable to you. I have my life. I'm going to pour it out for you in a few, not very long down the road. I'm going to die on a cross, and it's going to provide salvation for you all. And you'll have a gift that'll last for eternity, not just for the moment, but for eternity. And that same, you know, that exists for all of us today, that what are our motivations for coming to Christ? And are we making him part of our life? Is he our life? Are we trusting him fully, depending upon him, surrendering our life completely to him? Don't just admire who Jesus is, but receive him and make him your daily bread. Amen? I'm going to have those that are in help out with communion, if you'd make your way down. Paul says in Corinthians, there's kind of two passages that we use for the Lord's Supper communion. One's Matthew, one's in Corinthians. Corinthians 11. And Paul says this, "For I received of the Lord, which I also pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and says, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Remember, this all happens before he dies on the cross. Okay, it's the night before, but it's still before. Forever who eats this bread and drinks this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. So everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. What was he talking about? Some of them were coming. They often did the Lord's Supper and communion in homes as they would gather. It was part of their meal, and it was part of that fellowship time. But in the process there, some of them that had a lot, they had too much, and some of them that came with nothing went away hungry. And this displeased God to the place that some of them even became sick and died. It grieved the heart of God so much. But I think it's a good challenge for each of us that we examine our own hearts. Why are we coming to Christ? This represents what Jesus did for us, that he is our life. He is our salvation. We come by faith. But it's more than just a one-time thing. It is a journey. It's a life where we embrace who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Amen. Would you stand this morning? I'm going to lead us in a prayer of salvation. And then we're going to partake together. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, join us in the prayer, and we're all going to join in together, but especially if you've never put that into words, I encourage you to do that and make that your prayer this morning. Saying, dear God, come into my heart, into my life. Forgive me of all my sin. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Be my Lord and my Savior. And walk with me each day of my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Amy's going to lead us in this course. It's a short course. It's really easy. But once we get everything ready, you can begin making your way to the front. You go to the center, come down. You pick your side. Go back to your seat, and then we'll partake together. Do this every time, but sometimes I do. Talks about the bread being broken, right? It's the whole loaf representing his body. But see, it was broken for us. Right? Took the crown of thorns, the nails in his hands and his feet. Wounds in his side. The judgment, the cursing, he took that all for us. His body did. He took what was our punishment upon himself. And then his life was poured out. His lifeblood. Lord, this morning as we come before you, we thank you for what you did for us on the cross of Calvary. We thank you for the gift of eternal life, the hope of heaven. I hope nobody leaves today without that hope within their heart. But God, you call us to much more. You created us with a hole in each of us, Lord. There's something in our soul that craves the living God. And we're always going to be in that place where we're craving something until you fill that void. It's a spot that only that you can fill with your presence, with who you are. And God, the only way we can get that filled is just by walking with you, by knowing your word and putting it within our heart and our mind, by spending time in fellowship with you in prayer. It's more than just bringing our requests. It's having communion and fellowship with the living God. And so, Lord God, draw us deeper into that relationship with you, to know you more. Not just on the surface, but to really know you and to walk with you. We give you the thanks this day, and we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And as partake of the bread symbolizes his body that was broken for us. And as partake of the grape juice. This morning, be with us as we leave this place. Lord God, I pray that even though we leave this place, your presence goes with us. And God, take our time with you to a new level. Our prayer time, our study of your word. Lord God, just take us to deeper depths to know what it means to walk with you, to know you as our Lord and our Savior. You are the bread of life that has come down from heaven. So God, go with us this day. Be with moms today. Just a special double, triple blessing upon them, we pray. And we give you the thanks. We ask in the precious name of Jesus, and everybody said,